I've entitled today's message, The Irrevocables. Kind of sounds like a movie starring Sylvester Stallone, doesn't it? Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. And if you have your Bible, hope you do, also open up to that chapter because we'll be reading a few verses that aren't going to be up on the screen out of Romans chapter 11. Let's read this verse out loud together. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Read it again off the screen out loud together. Here we go. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Let's pray. God, thank you for the message today, that as we break this spiritual bread, as we do so, you will bless it. As we distribute it, you will multiply it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that this will not just be added information, but it will be information and inspiration that leads to transformation. And I pray, God, that you are at work in everyone's life here today. And I thank you that you are transforming us and conforming us to the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. I love that word irrevocable. I just love this verse. This is one of my life verses. This is the verse that I've clung to really for the last 33 years of walking with Jesus, from the first time I ever read it. It brought me in my life so much assurance that no matter how distant I may be at times in my walk with God, no matter how I may have stumbled along the way, there was this assurance that I had in my heart that God's gifts and God's call upon my life are irrevocable. God's gifts and God's call upon your life, they are irrevocable. I looked up the word irrevocable, and it means not able to be changed, reversed, or recovered. Some synonyms to that word: irreversible, unalterable, unchangeable, immutable, final, and binding. Irrevocable. The gifts of God and the call of God are, say it with me, irrevocable. I want you to memorize Romans 11, 29. It's an easy verse to memorize. I want you to mull over that verse. I want you to meditate on that verse throughout this day, throughout this next week. I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to bring more clarity in your heart and in your life, what this verse means to you, and how this verse can be attached to your life moving forward, and the difference it could make in your life. I want to read it out of one more translation of the Bible. Once again, Romans 11, 20, 29. It says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on his promises. Wow, church, what a declaration. God will never go back on his promises. Now, there are some things in life that are irrevocable. There are some things in life that are revocable. There are some things in life you can never take back, right? How many of you have said something and instantly you wished you could take it back? Every guy in here knows what I'm talking about, right? With your wife or your fiance or your girlfriend. I mean, all three stages, you know. I said things when Gloria and I were dating. I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Then we were engaged. I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. And you think we'd learn, right? Then in our marriage, there have been times I'm like, I know, I shouldn't have said that. But you can't undo that. There are some things in life that you get a do-over, and thank God for that. Actually, we actually live in a culture, in a society that loves to give people do-overs. If you're liked, and if you're politically correct, society loves to afford you a do-over. A second chance, right? Society actually prides itself on giving a second chance. But there are some things in life that, this verse of Scripture says, that are irrevocable. Even in a revocable and sometimes repulsive culture that we live in. You see, we live in a revocable culture. I mean, take for granted. Take for instance, you go out to a restaurant today after church and you order a meal, and the waiter or waitress brings that meal out. If you take a bite of it, if it doesn't agree with you, you can revoke that meal. You could send it back, and they will bring you something in return. A referee's call can be revoked. All a coach has to do is throw that little red flag onto the field, and they go back into the instant replay review of that play, and if they got it wrong, that call can be revoked. Many department stores, they have a merchandise policy that you can bring it back within 30 days. And all the ladies said, okay, never mind. Computers have a delete button. Computers have an undo key. You don't like something, you just hit the undo key. You don't like something, you just hit the delete key. There are some things that are instantaneously revocable. In this interactive world, we can review our choices and change our choices even after we've already made our choices. In other words, in our society today, permanent is becoming a thing of the past. Think about that. If you don't like your name, no problem. You can revoke it. You can legally change it. It's not permanent. Too much debt, you've got bankruptcy. If you want more kids, the billboard by the freeway says that surgery can be reversed. If you're unhappy with your marriage, hey, no worries. In the society we live in today, divorce has never been easier, cheaper, and faster. Unplanned pregnancies, not a problem in our society today. That too can be revoked. That too can be fixed. Hey, you don't like your sex? Not a problem. That too can be altered, changed, revoked. In this crazy post-Christian, post-modern, religiously pluralistic society that we find ourselves living in today. Irrevocable. The Bible uses that word. The only time it uses that word in the New Testament is here in Romans 11, 29, when Paul says the gifts of God and the call of God are irrevocable. That's a strong word, isn't it? It's so final. It comes out of the mouth with a thud. Irrevocable. Done. Final. That's it. So what are the truly irrevocable things in life? Well, we know that once a bullet has left that gun, it's not going back in, right? That's irrevocable. Toothpaste, you know, once it's out of the tube, you can't get it back in. A lotto ticket, once it's scratched, you know, you can't unscratch it. And according to Johnny Cash, naming your boy Sue has irrevocable consequences, doesn't it? So there are some things that are irrevocable. Not much is permanent. And yet this text, it tells us that with God there are certain things that are irrevocable. Certain things that are permanent. Certain things that cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. That really don't need to be altered and don't need to be changed. They are irrevocable. I was preparing this message and thinking through this message. And in my, you know, reading through the Bible in a year, my daily devotional of reading through the Bible in a year, which I hope and pray that all of us as a church family are committed to together, that all of us, not for religious purposes, but based on relationship, that we're all reading Scripture on a regular basis. How many of you breathe regularly? Okay. How many of you eat regularly? How many of you sleep regularly? Not now. Go ahead and give an elbow to that person next to you. They're dozing off. You know, they lost an hour of sleep, right? There are a lot of things that we do regularly and consistently, right? How many check your Facebook? Don't raise your hand. It's not even regular anymore. It's like moment by moment, you know? So we want to be in Scripture reading it regularly, right? So I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and I happen to be in the book of Esther, and I come across Esther chapter 8, verse 8. It's talking about King Artaxerxes, and he made a law, he made a decree that all the Jews were going to be killed on a certain day, and when he found out it was a trick, that he was betrayed, you know, because God through Esther intervened, the king said, well, the law of the Medes and the Persians is irrevocable. Once a decree has gone out, it cannot be retracted. So he had to make another law that allowed the Jews to defend themselves and protect themselves. And so what was going to be a great defeat turned out to be a great victory. You know, sometimes in life, the enemy has a plot and a plan to destroy you. And we might think in the natural it is irrevocable, unchangeable. But God says, I've made a decree. And my decree is you shall not be defeated. My decree is you shall not be destroyed. My decree is you shall pursue, overtake, recover all. And the final word has not yet been spoken until God speaks the final word about your life and about my life. And when God makes a decree, it's irrevocable. God's word is irrevocable. God's word is unchangeable. God's promises are unchangeable. And so in a world where there are a few absolutes, there are some things we can count on, some things we can bank on, some things we can build our life upon and around. Look what Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says. Let's read this out loud together. "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So here God declares to his people that he is Jehovah, he is the Lord, and he does not change. We know that God doesn't change because God doesn't need to change, right? How many know you can't improve on perfection, right? So that's God. God doesn't need to change, but how many of us in here would admit we need some changing in our own lives? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you say, yeah, I need some changing? Wives, go ahead and raise your husband's other hand up for him too, right? You know what I'm talking about. We all need to change. How many of you, since you've been walking with the Lord, he has changed your life and is changing your life? Amen. Right? We tell people, you know, when you give your life to Christ, if you'll stay involved in church, you'll come regularly, get involved in life groups, start reading your Bible, you'll be amazed. 6 months from that moment or a year in the future, you'll look back and you'll be totally amazed at how God has changed your life from the inside out. God is in the life-changing business. Church is not just about information or inspiration. It's about transformation. God wants to change you and me, and only God can change us. How many of you have tried to change an area of your life and you kept failing at it, right? Because you can't. But the Lord can change you. The Lord can change us. But he doesn't change because he doesn't need to change, because you can't improve on perfection. And God is perfect, right? Here, that's, you can count on that. In Numbers 23:19, it says it this way: God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man, or a son of man, Jesus, that he should relent or repent. Has he said, will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Whatever God has spoken, God will make good. You can count on that, because he doesn't change. And when it comes to Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, you can count on it. Matter of fact, I want you to look at that verse one more time. Romans 11:29. I want you to notice two key words: gifts and call. The word gifts, is it singular or plural? It's plural. The word call, is it singular or plural? It's singular. So there are two things, at least two things, according to this verse, that are irrevocable, cannot be withdrawn, cannot be changed, cannot be altered. What are they? God's gifts and God's call. So what are God's gifts? Notice it's not singular, it's plural, because there are many gifts that God has given us. It's not a trick question. What's the greatest gift that God has given us? The eternal life, his son. The greatest gift that God has given you and me and the world is his son. Right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. So the greatest gift is Jesus. That gift will never be revoked. That gift will never be withdrawn. That gift will never be withheld. That gift will never be taken back by God. You're not going to have to wake up one day and think, and God's going to say, you know what? I want my gift back. Some of us know people like that, right? You know, they take their gifts back. They give you a gift, you're like, no thanks, because I know you're going to be asking for it, you know, whatever. But God gives us a gift, and he's not going to take it back. What are some other gifts that the Lord's given us? The Holy Spirit, yes. The Holy Spirit is a gift for believers. Jesus is the gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is the gift to believers. Matter of fact, it's at salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, into Christ. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Bible actually talks about there are several baptisms? There's a baptism into water, there's baptism into Christ, there's the baptism into the Holy Spirit. We're going to be starting a series on the book of Acts the week after Easter. And we're going to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But we're not going to go through the entire book of Acts all at once, because I don't think you all have 3 years to wade through the book of Acts. Now, you know, I just know how we are as humans. So we're going to go like for 3 chapters, then we'll take a break to the following year. And then once again, right after Easter, we'll pick up where we left off so that we can go through the entire book of Acts. And it's really the book of Acts, the theme is the acts or the actions of the disciples as they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be awesome. So the Holy Spirit is a gift. How many of God's Word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures are a gift from God? So there are many gifts. Every person in here, you have a gift. You have more than one gift. There are some of us in here, you have not yet discovered what those gifts are. Many of you know what those gifts are. And the Bible says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. That you don't have to make room for your gift. Your gift that God has given you will make room for you. It will usher you into arenas and places and opportunities that you never thought were imaginable. And God will do it as you are faithful with the gift that God has given you, as you are a faithful steward of that gift. Everybody in here has a gift, multiple gifts from the Lord. Some have not yet discovered what those gifts are. But as you continue to put God first and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then those gifts are going to come to the surface. They're going to become more and more clear. As you begin to devote your life and you are mission-directed and mercy-driven in your life, you are mission-directed and mercy-driven. Like Jesus who said, He did not come to be served but to serve. When you arrive on the scene, not to be served but to serve. When you show up in your marriage, not to be served, but to serve. When you show up at work, not to be served, but to serve. When you show up in your relationships, not to be served, but to serve. When you come to church, not to be served, but to serve. And you're mission directed in your life. Like Jesus was mission directed in His life. He had a clear mission to seek and save that which was lost. And He did not deviate from that. As you are committed to that same mission in your life, those gifts and the call of God in your life will become more and more clear to you and to me. And there are many gifts mentioned in the Bible. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit, like 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and discerning of spirits and faith and healing and miracles and tongues and prophecy, interpretation of tongues. In Romans 12, there are motivational gifts, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy. If you work in the medical industry, you've got that gift in operation, my friend. The gift of mercy, the gift of hospitality, the gift of giving. These are gifts mentioned in the New Testament. There are ministry gifts listed in Ephesians 4 that God has given us, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. And there are multiple gifts that we have. Gifts are different from skills. They're basically the abilities and the talents that we are born with, that God put into our genetic code when we were being formed in our mother's womb. Skills are things that from our talents and abilities and gifts that we can hone in and we can become better at. Skills is something that you acquire in life by way of experience, but the gifts, they're not yours. They're not mine. They've been given to us by God, and we're a steward of them. And those gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. What are you doing with those gifts, my friend? That's the question. Have we discovered those gifts? Are we being faithful to discern the will of God in our lives so that we're using those gifts for His glory? You see, there are many people in our world today, and we look at them and we admire them. And we say, that person is so gifted, rightfully so. Where do you think they got that from? The Lord. And even though they may not be using that gift right now for the glory of God, how many of you know it does not change the fact that that gift was given to them by Almighty God? They may not be using it for His glory, but it was given to them by God. And because of the nature of God, He won't withdraw that gift. Once God gives a gift, it's irrevocable. You know, the comfort and the peace that brings into our hearts that maybe you haven't been using your gift, or maybe you've been misusing your gift, or maybe you have put your gift on a shelf, or maybe you have been neglecting your gift for years, maybe some of you for decades. It's time to get busy, because once God gives a gift, He doesn't take it back, and He expects you to start using it for His glory. Amen? For His glory. And you say, well, I don't know if I've got much time left. Then you better get started as soon as this message ends. Okay? You better make some life-altering choices, okay? You may only have 5 years left, or 3 years left, or 2 years left, but God's still going to hold you and me accountable for the gifts and the call that are without repentance or cannot be revoked. They are irrevocable. All right, so there are many gifts, right? And this particular verse, Romans 11:29, is a sticky text in a sticky section of Scripture in the Bible. Because in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul is tackling some deep theological issues, such as, if God is now reaching the Gentile world and calling the Gentile world into relationship, what happened to the nation of Israel? Has God forsaken them? Has God forgotten them? Does God no longer love them? Does God no longer have a plan for the nation of Israel? Has the church now taken the place of the nation of Israel, which there are some erroneous doctrines out there, and they've been around for decades and generations, actually, that teach that Israel is no more, they rejected Jesus, so God has rejected them. So now, all the promises that were made to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament no longer apply to the literal seed of Abraham any longer. They now all apply to the church. Hogwash. Okay. That is erroneous. That is not true. God's promise to Israel and the prophecies related to Israel will be fulfilled, and one day all of Israel will be saved. But until then, God has opened wide the gates of salvation and eternity to the Gentile world for the last 2,000 years. You are seated here today, if you know Jesus, saved and on your way to heaven, because God opened up the gates of salvation for the entire Gentile world. And for that, we're grateful. So Paul, look at Romans 11:11. This is not going to be on the screen, so have your Bible open. Romans 11:11, it says this. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not, Paul says, right? They were disobedient. So God made salvation available to the Gentiles, but He wanted His own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. How interesting is that? Paul is saying God didn't reject Israel. Israel rejected God. God has not rejected America, but America has rejected God. But His gifts and His call are irrevocable. It's time to wake up, America, and it's time to come back to your roots, and it's time to lay claim to the mission of God that was instilled in us at our birth. Come on, church. Amen. So it wasn't God that rejected Israel, it was Israel that rejected God. And God said, okay, you don't want what I've got? The Gentile world will receive it. Now, we like to categorize the world, okay? We categorize it, you know, based on race, based on nationality. God doesn't do any of that. God categorizes the world into three categories: the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. There are three types of people in the world. Either you're Jewish, and if you're not Jewish, then you're a Gentile. And from those two groups of people in the world today, either Jew or Gentile, that's it. God has called out the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that are a mixture of both Jew and Gentile. And it has become a new race, a new breed, a new category of individuals called
the body of Christ, the church of the living God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are a group of people that have never existed on planet Earth ever before. We are aliens. We are passing through. I know you're looking at me like, what in the world has Pastor been drinking? It is that Trinity Cafe coffee. You need some. We're the church, made up of different races and different nationalities, and we are different genders, but we're all one, for there's neither male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek, but we're all one in Christ, and we are his hands, and we are his feet, and we are the expression of the love of God in a broken, dying world that needs the message of Jesus. That's our mission. Paul says, no, God hasn't rejected his people. His people rejected him. So he said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. And the blessings that I placed upon you, I'm going to start placing on the Gentiles. And now we, the Gentiles, or the church, have become the custodians of what Israel was once the custodians of, the stewards of, the gifts of God, which Paul was really referring to, the scriptures and the covenants and the promises and the mission. The mission. We all have a mission. As a church, we have a mission. And we need to be mission directed. Because two irrevocables, number one, in my mind, as you study the 11th chapter of Romans and where this scripture is strategically placed by the Holy Spirit, we need to remain mission directed. See, Israel lost sight of their mission. In two particular areas, you read through the minor prophets, two particular areas. Number one, their worship became superficial and artificial and shallow. They were going through the motions, but that was it. They had form, but no force. They had ritual, but no righteousness. They were acting. They were playing at church. They were not being the church. And the second area that they begin to deviate from the mission of God. They lost their mission. It was in the area of being just and revealing the justice of God in an unjust world. What does Micah 6:8 say? One of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, what's required of thee, O man of God, but to love justice, to show mercy, and to what? Walk humbly with thy God. To love justice. You see, as Christians, we love justice. And we want justice for everyone. And God is concerned about a certain category of people who don't receive the justice that they deserve, particularly children. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. If anyone would hurt one of these little ones that would believe in me, it would be better that that a millstone were tied around their neck and they were thrown in the depths of the sea. This is the loving Jesus that holds lambs that you think, oh, he's so sweet. Jesus is so sweet. Oh, he's just so nice. No, Jesus said that. You touch, you hurt one of these children, it's better off you were never born. God wanted Israel, and he wants the church now to defend the defenseless. How many know in the area of real social justice, we need to be the voice for the unborn in our world today? Amen. In the area of justice, love justice, please. Love justice. Show mercy. Walk humbly with your God. This is one of two irrevocables. We must remain mission directed. Care for those children who are abused and neglected and forsaken and forgotten. Be a voice for the orphan and the widow. Right, Sandy? Amen? And we want to make sure that we are letting our voice be heard in the area of sex trafficking, one of the greatest evils in our world today, of children, boys and girls and women, against their will, that are being sold into the sex trade. What can I do? I'm just one person, I know, but But you and me and others coming together and praying and seeking God and finding solutions and raising awareness, we can begin to make a dent. We can begin to make a difference in our world. Amen? It's not about us. It's about serving others. It's about remaining on mission. Now listen, because I'm running out of time. What does Romans 11:29 say? I want you to memorize this verse. It's real simple. It's like, what, six words? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're irrevocable. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. But listen. Are you listening? Look to your neighbor and say, are you listening? Go on, ask him, are you listening? Wake up. I know you lost an hour of sleep. It's okay. God will make it up. The gifts of God and the call of God. What's the call of God? The call of God is talking about divine election. Divine election. It doesn't say callings. There's one call. To follow Jesus. As he said, follow me. That's the call. Follow me to the whole world. Follow me. That's just Jesus. Not me, but follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's the call. And once we get that call right, all the other callings in life, the calling to be a mother, the calling to be a father, the calling to be a husband, the calling to be a wife, that comes first, and then the calling to be a father, and then the calling to be a mother. Need to stipulate that, right? The calling to be a doctor or an attorney or a truck driver or a businessman or a banker or an entrepreneur or a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. Those are all callings, but they all are callings under the call of God to follow Jesus, to serve him, to love him. And the way somebody gets saved, it's not because the preacher was really anointed and he really brought it to the house and 100 people got saved. Thank God for preachers that really bring it, okay? But salvation has little to do with you and me. It has everything to do with God. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw them. Except the Holy Spirit draw them. So all we do is plant the seed. All we do is water. But it's God that gives the increase. And in Romans 8, it goes this way. That you have been predestined. You have been chosen. You have been called to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. You know when all that took place? you want your mind to be blown today? You know when all that took place? In eternity past. Yeah, that's right. In eternity past, God predestined in his foreknowledge everyone who would be serving him today and throughout eternity. Now, he can do that because he's God. We can't because we're not God. You're like, well, am I called? Am I part of the elect? Yes, you are. Because the call goes out to everyone. Whosoever will, let him come and drink freely of the waters of life. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him. Whosoever means the whole world can be saved. Will the whole world be saved? No, but they can be. God's not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. He wants all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everyone. That's his will. You say, how does this stuff work? Would you have about 400 years to discuss it? Because the church has been discussing election for 2,000 years, and we still don't have it right. The person says, I know the doctrine of election. No, you don't know the doctrine of election. Here's the simplest form of the doctrine of election. God has cast a vote for you. The devil has cast a vote against you. And you have the tie-breaking vote. You can choose life or death, heaven or hell, blessing or cursing. It's our choice. How many of us want to make the right choice? Amen? We want our loved ones to make the right choice. All right, now listen. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. But my friend, did you know God's blessings can be revoked? You know, God can lift his blessing from your life, my life, from this church, from our church. He can lift his blessing. He did that with the nation of Israel. He can withhold the rains. He can send the locusts. This country that has taken the blessing of God for granted now for the last generation is beginning to find out what happens when God begins to lift his blessing from a nation. And that's why his people, called by his name, must humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek the face of God that he would hear from heaven and that he would heal our land. And we plead with God, God, do not remove your blessing from this nation, because no matter how powerful our military is, and God bless our military, no matter how wealthy we may think we are as a nation, once God removes his blessing from a nation, our days are numbered. Come on, America, it's time to wake up and come back to God. His gifts, his call are irrevocable, but not his blessings. My friend, I don't want you to ever live out from under the blessing of God upon your life. I don't ever want to live out from under the blessing of God upon my life. And if your marriage is living out from under the blessing of God upon your life, then know you can come back under the canopy of God's blessing. You can begin to realign your life, allow it to be mission-directed and mercy-driven. This entire 11th chapter of Romans speaks about how merciful God is, how long-suffering God is. You want to know something? You'll run out of sin before God runs out of mercy. You'll run out of discouragement before God runs out of mercy. You'll run out of disappointment before God runs out of mercy. You'll run out of hopelessness before God runs out of mercy. You'll run out of guilt and shame and grief and sorrow and disappointment and discouragement and racism and prejudice and hate and murder and strife before God ever runs out of His mercy. And His mercies are new every morning, and His mercy's available for us every moment of every day. When we simply call out to Him, He will answer us, He will come to us, He will rescue us, He will save us, He will heal us, and He will restore us, because that's the kind of God that we serve. His gifts and His call are irrevocable. Come on, let's thank the Lord together, church family. Let's thank Him together. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you and we thank you right now. You blessed the nation of Israel so they would be a blessing. When they stopped being a blessing and they started abusing the blessings, they lost the blessings. Help us, God, to recognize this church is blessed. It's only blessed as long as we don't use those blessings on ourselves, but we use those blessings to bless others. We, like you told Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing. And God, if we want more blessing in our life, if you will bring blessing to us, if you can bring blessing through us, help us, God, to begin to release the blessing in our homes, to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our community, to our nation and our world. We have a responsibility. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts that are being stirred in the hearts of your people today. Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus. The gift of eternal life, the greatest gift, can be yours. God loves you. His mercies are new every morning. They're here today in this service for you, my friend, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring life change. Pray this prayer out loud. Say it with your own mouth. Mean it from your own heart with the rest of us. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Thank you for your gifts and the call of God upon my life, which are irrevocable. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family? We love you. Have an awesome day.